Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. Most of us have heard of the eating disorder known as anorexia. Less familiar is orthorexia, characterized by obsession with proper nutrition, food quality, and healthy eating. For the individual fixated on clean eating, avoidance of unhealthy foods can lead to the development of extreme restrictive diets.
While orthorexia nervosa is not currently recognized as a distinct clinical diagnosis, our next two guests highlight the need for further research. At the 2017 annual meeting of the American Psychological Association, researchers Dr. Rebecca Sokol and Dr. Jan Park presented their findings on orthorexia. Both are fourth-year residents at the University of Maryland Shepherd Pratt Health System Psychiatric Residency Program.
Welcome to Take Care. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Define orthorexia, and how does it compare to anorexia and other eating disorders? Dr. Sokol, let's start with you.
So orthorexia is a pathological fixation on healthy eating, as you said before. It's characterized by a restrictive diet, ritualized patterns of eating, rigid avoidance of foods believed to be unhealthy or impure, and that can then result in these nutritional deficiencies, medical consequences, and a poor quality of life. So the major differences between orthorexia and other more well-known eating disorders like anorexia is that it's more of a fixation on food quality as opposed to food quantity. So with people with orthorexia, they want to make sure they're eating the cleanest, healthiest possible foods, making sure it's organic, GMO-free, no preservatives, things like that, gluten-free, vegan, all of that kind of falls into that, whereas people with anorexia just want to minimize the amount of food that they're eating because they have this intense fear of gaining weight or becoming fat. So an example I often like to give is if you offered somebody with anorexia a soda, they would say, oh, no, that's going to make me fat, whereas if you offered somebody with orthorexia soda, they'll say, oh, no, that's going to give me cancer because of all the unnatural products in it.
So, Dr. Park, it sounds like prior to the term clean eating or the current obsessions with food, and there are always trends as to what we should or should not eat, but it sounds like prior to the clean eating concept, orthorexia may not have been something that individuals would identify with.
Yeah, that's correct. This term is actually relatively new, and there's actually not too much research on the actual concept of orthorexia. I do want to emphasize that this is not yet an official diagnosis that clinicians use, and it's still kind of in the research stages. But this is something that patients, if they do have this focus on healthy eating and they feel like it's a problem, they could identify with.
Do either of you have a sense why this is occurring now? Does it stem directly from any particular eating trend or diet fad? Because as Linda and I were talking about earlier, and I do think this is more relevant with women, I don't want to be sexist or gender stereotype, but for years and years, there have been what we might say are just crazy limiting diets to lose weight. Eating only one thing for 3 days, eating for 3 days and fasting on the fourth day, eating at different times. I mean, it's incredible what people have done to lose weight. And actually, sometimes they're seen as disciplined. People can relate to this intense desire to lose weight. So I want to understand why this is more prevalent. Is it born from some of the extreme eating diets for weight loss or health that we've seen recently?
Yeah, so that's actually a really interesting point. I think that this isn't a direct correlation with kind of the fads and kind of the culture changes related to food that you're mentioning. I think that, you know, in our culture, there is a high focus on making sure we're eating the proper diet, we're eating things that are natural or clean. And so there is a huge cultural kind of aspect to it. However, you know, eating disorders in general, they don't exist kind of in a vacuum. There are other factors. There's genetic factors that might influence a person to have disordered eating behavior. There might be biological reasons, other health problems they might have that could kind of push them towards disordered eating behavior. So I think it's important to recognize that culture does play a role, but usually people will have some kind of predisposing or precipitating factor that kind of pushes them into the disordered eating kind of arena.
And I should also mention that all of the, you know, dieting fads and all that stuff, so that's kind of dying out. You know, the dieting industry is really struggling right now. There are a lot of reports on Weight Watchers and other things not being as popular, and it's more of a shift in our society from dieting to eating clean. So that's kind of where you're seeing people going from, you know, eating these abnormal diets every day to lose weight to now people trying to do clean eating. So that certainly influences the way people are eating right now, but it doesn't necessarily cause the disorder itself.
Do you think that there is also, let's call it, societal approval of the individual who doesn't seem to have an eating disorder, but seems to have either discipline or concern, you know, the concept of my body is a temple. And so they treat their body so well and so carefully, and everything that goes in is thoughtfully prepared or chosen. And I see that in some situations, and I can think of one person I know who has danced back and forth with an eating disorder and seemed to have it licked, and then as soon as clean eating came about, that legitimized her concern with eating very, very carefully, which was implementing a very restricted diet. But in this case, nobody, there's no blame. In other words, there's just a lot of, she's remarkable. Look at how she's eating.
Right. So it's interesting that you bring that up. There's actually been some recent studies looking at attitudes towards, there's one that I can think of that came out recently that was about attitudes towards people with orthorexia tendencies versus anorexic tendencies, and they tend to see the people with orthorexia more favorably, seeing them as being more disciplined and caring about their bodies. And even the issue of orthorexia gained more national attention because there was this blogger, the blonde vegan, Jordan Younger, who was actually blogging about all of her health-related practices, and it was very popular until she finally came out and said, actually, I have this problem. I have orthorexia. So it is kind of, in society, it's looked at as a good thing to have a lot of discipline in your diet. And in talking about social media, there's another study looking at high Instagram utilization among people with orthorexia versus orthorexic tendencies versus people who don't have orthorexic tendencies.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
We're talking to Dr. Jan Park and Dr. Rebecca Sokol about a project, annual meeting. The project was titled Healthy Eating Becomes Unhealthy, the Emergence of Orthorexia Nervosa. So we talked a little about the background and people who are attempting to control the quality of food to the point where it's extremely restrictive. What are some of the other warning signs that a person is suffering from orthorexia?
So there's not a lot of research on in terms of symptoms or how do we even screen for orthorexia. This is still a relatively new concept. I mean, I'm sure we all know people who really do fixate on clean eating and they seem perfectly fine and normal. I think if you're talking about warning signs with orthorexia, you might want to consider just eating disorders in general. What kind of warning signs do we look for if a patient or a person has disordered eating? And one of those things might be that they look like they've lost a significant amount of weight. They look like they might be malnourished, or they may have significant impairment in their daily functioning that might impact their social relationships, their work life, and other things.
You had earlier mentioned about Instagram usage and social media being a part of, I guess you could say, sharing orthorexia. But obviously, not individuals aren't calling it that, but there are some social norms that exist And so people photograph their meals, what they're eating. It sounds like social media has a huge influence in the growth of this.
It certainly is possible that it's had a huge influence. You know, people like to take pictures of their foods and, you know, post on blogs what they're eating and things like that. But it's really, it's almost too soon to tell because we know so little, and it's, you know, we don't have any screening mechanisms. We don't know how common this disorder is. So it's at this point, it's really hard to say whether or not social media is playing a major role in making this a bigger problem. However, it's certainly possible, and it's certainly helping it to become more public.
When we talk about anorexia nervosa, we know that there is a giant health component to the point where a person could actually die when their body systems shut down because they're eating so little that their body can't maintain function. When we're talking about this concept of orthorexia, clean eating, obviously, if you need psychiatric treatment for this and you realize you're struggling, you've gotten to a point where it has really affected your quality of life, probably more than your health, since you're relatively eating, you know, eating well. And it sounds like there has to be a spectrum here, because as we talked about in this conversation, there's quirky eating, there's clean eating, they're sharing all of this on social media, and it's culturally acceptable. So I'm wondering, Dr. Park, can you explain the spectrum here? When does a person go from just eating really well, maybe they're avoiding fat, additives, they'll only eat organic food, they've eliminated wheat and dairy, et cetera, et cetera. So they're perfectly content controlling their life like this. When does it get to a point where it jeopardizes either their mental well-being or their physical well-being?
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. It certainly is a spectrum. I think that a lot of the habits and a lot of the attempts at eating healthy or eating well, you see actually a lot of patients with anorexia nervosa and patients who might potentially have this orthorexic eating behavior. When it gets really dangerous and unhealthy and problematic is when people will only eat certain things, they will only eat certain groups of foods, or they will avoid anything that has any kind of pesticide exposure or something like that. When when you start singling out foods and eating only certain food groups or certain food, certain nutrients, that's when it becomes problematic and you have the medical complications that often lead people into the hospital.
And that was exactly my next question. Can orthorexia lead to serious health problems, short-term or long-term?
Yeah, so actually one of the cases that we presented at the APA was this woman who, you know, before coming into the hospital, all she was eating was organic avocado and coconut water because she believed anything else would cause some major health consequences. So when she came into the hospital, she was severely underweight and malnourished, and when she came to us, her blood pressure was dangerously low, her heart rate was dangerously low, her temperature was dangerously low, her blood glucose, her blood sugar was dangerously low, to the point where we worry about her passing out. And we actually had to feed her through an IV for a long period of time because she wasn't willing to eat anything because of fear that it would, you know, she wouldn't eat some organic baby food that we brought in because she was concerned that the water wasn't spring water. Any of the we had nutrition consulted and they brought in some dietary supplements. All of the ingredients she said she couldn't tolerate. So she was very, very ill for a very long time until we were able to get her better.
What is the treatment of orthorexia?
That's a good question. We don't exactly know. There's very limited research, as I said before, regarding the treatment approaches to take on a person who might be suffering from this fixation and healthy eating. at this point right now, any patient or person who comes to treatment for this kind of behavior is usually treated with the same treatment approach as someone who might be treated for anorexia nervosa. So we really want to emphasize that a lot of research is still needed to figure out, you know, what's the difference between orthorexia and the other eating disorders, and how can we treat it differently?
You described the woman who came in who would only consume avocado and drink coconut water, and obviously she was doing very poorly. And I'm assuming that people in her life, family and friends, must have been observing this change. And certainly, I'm sure somebody spoke up. And I know that there are good ways to go about this and not so good ways to go about this. How does one approach an individual who says, you know, I'm eating clean and healthy, I'm doing the best for my body, don't interfere? What's your advice to them?
With the case of this woman, her mother repeatedly told her that she needs to eat better, but it just kind of didn't get through to her. So you do have to be very careful when talking to these people, because again, they think that what they're doing is so right for their body. So just being non-judgmental, expressing your concern, saying you're concerned that their healthy eating could lead to weight loss and malnutrition, and even offering, like, do you need to get some help? Do you need to see a psychiatrist? Because there's often other comorbidities or other psychiatric issues you see along with orthorexia, like anxiety, depression, those kinds of things. So if they're struggling with any of that, you could recommend seeking help for treatment of those things, and then the eating behavior can be addressed along with that.
I think it must be so tricky because so many of these people are so bright, intelligent, and well-researched intellectually. I'm not addressing their emotional issues that cause them to get into the problem, but I mean, they do all their homework, and there's plenty to support whatever lifestyle you choose, especially online, in terms of being well-educated about what every additive, how an additive may harm you, or preservatives, or not eating organic. And I think that must add just a layer of complexity here, because on the face of it, they seem very bright and well-informed. But on the other hand, they just may not be aware that they're, again, slipping away from being in the mainstream. Is that one of the challenging things to identify?
Absolutely. Definitely one of the challenging things about any eating disorder, actually. Illnesses like anorexia or people with orthorexic traits, they tend to be very well-researched, very bright. So it's very hard to approach anyone with an eating disorder that what they're doing is not good for them. So, you know, we see this all the time on the eating disorders unit, regardless of what sort of eating disorder they have. They're so rigid in what they believe is right that it's so hard to break down that barrier. And unfortunately, we haven't seen enough cases of orthorexia or what we're concerned might be orthorexia to really know how difficult it is compared to other eating disorders. However, I know through research and through experience that working with anyone with an eating disorder is very, very challenging because they do not want to give up any of their habits, and they're very well researched and they believe them very strongly.
Dr. Rebecca Sokol and Dr. Jan Park, thank you so much for joining us on Take Care.
Thanks for having us.